moment of your time, significant holiday coming up a week from tomorrow. Do I need to actually remind you it is Valentine's Day? So if you want to send your sweetie a nice gift, you know, flowers always a guaranteed hit. And we have a fabulous place for you to go. Brand new sponsor here on the program. Our friends at the Middle Ground Floor, or Middle Ground Florist, they're right down there next to Red Hen Cafe and Bakery. And Jana Polson is the owner and operator. And she's a biologist and a professional floral designer. I would bet that none of you out there can make that same claim. She studied in one of the oldest flower design shops in Europe, the flower design of Britain. So she's quite talented. How about one of those nice hand-tied bouquets? A nice flower arrangement there. It's not going to require any sort of vase for the transportation and presentation thereof. Save yourself a vase. We always like to do that. Jana also only uses natural and recyclable wrapping materials. You're not going to get any of that goofy plastic sleeve stuff with her. And here's what her customers say. Here are some of the adjectives that they use to describe her great products. Different, fresh, artful, young, cute. Huh? How about that? So if you want to send one of your friends, loved ones, or relatives some fabulous flowers for Valentine's Day, here are the ways that you can do it. The Middle Ground Florist is open all next week. It's going to be open every day next week to accommodate your needs. You can go to regalflowerdesign.com. I'll repeat that again, regalflowerdesign.com. You can place your orders through that, and they'll have delivery in central Vermont. There will be free delivery in the Middlesex, the 12th through the 14th. Here is a phone number for you to reach Jana, and you can do that at 870-0991, 870-0991 for the Middle Ground Florist. And again, you can go to the website regalflowerdesign.com if you would want to place your order through online. All right, let's give a nice home radio Vermont welcome this morning to Senator Kevin Mullen of Rutland County. And we were just talking, good morning.
Good morning.
We were just talking with the governor about this. A couple of ideas I want to get your thoughts on. I know this week you have raised this question again of removing the philosophical exemption for vaccinations. So is this all just a reaction to what's happening with the measles outbreak?
No, it's not just a reaction to that. Prior to coming into this session, I was contemplating a number of different proposals that would try to increase our vaccination rate in Vermont, everything from changing the triggers under the current law to completely removing the philosophical exemption. And after looking at what other states did, when they removed the philosophical exemption, they saw about a 25% decline in the number of unimmunized children. And so that seemed to be the one thing that gets the most kids vaccinated. And certainly the public discussion after the measles outbreak has brought it back into the forefront. So we passed it in the Senate two sessions ago. It passed the Senate easily. Unfortunately, it hit a roadblock in the House, and I'd like to try to get that train rolling again, because what we've seen, I know that the governor was just on, and he said in his press conference the other day that he believes that we're on the right track with the education pieces that came out of that bill from two sessions ago. The problem with that is that we've moved in exactly the wrong direction, and we have six tenths of a percent more unvaccinated kids in the state of Vermont today than we did when we passed that bill. So if that's moving us in the right direction, I'm pretty concerned.
The governor was just saying, though, and also the health commissioner, Dr. Chen, has made the same point, there hasn't been enough time to evaluate the results of the 2012 legislation.
Well, we've had 3 years. I mean, how much time do they need?
I don't know. How do you think this is an adequate amount of time?
Well, if after 3 years you haven't seen any decline whatsoever in the amount of unvaccinated children, I would say we're on the wrong path.
Why is there a need to remove the philosophical exemption? I mean, if my kids are vaccinated and your kids are not vaccinated, what is the threat to my child, if any? What's the threat to society as whole?
So basically, there's a medical concept known as herd immunity. And when you get below approximately 90% of the population, you start to create public health risks. And your decisions don't just affect your child. So, for example, babies are too young to have certain vaccinations. Anyone of any age with an immunocompromised system, they could be fighting leukemia or another disease, they're unable to have the vaccinations for medical reasons. So your decision not to vaccinate your child isn't just putting your child at risk. It could be putting your best friend's baby at risk. It could be putting in your child's teacher who has an immunocompromised system at risk. And so your decisions are not just impacting you and your family, but they're impacting others who can't be vaccinated.
Do you believe any vaccinations are unsafe?
I think that there's a risk in almost anything that you do. So what we know is that there is an allergic reaction in about one out of a million vaccinations. Contrast that to the fact that the death rate with measles is one out of 1,000 who contract it. And so when you do the statistical analysis, the benefits always outweigh the risks involved. And that is why the medical community and the scientific community has solidly come out and said vaccinations should be granted. The industry itself has done made some real progress in the areas of taking some of the bad ingredients out of the vaccines. So for a long time, mercury was a prime preservative, and that has been diminished significantly. And so vaccines are safer today than they ever were. And this is the time that we should really be, I mean, think about it, Mark, if people were unwilling to take vaccines, how many people would have died from smallpox, polio, you name it? And so we just need to get the information out there that it's the right thing to do medically and scientifically to vaccinate your kids.
Talking with Senator Kevin Mullen, 244-1777 is our local number. Toll free, 877-291-8255. We go to Kirby. I'm sorry, who we have on the line here?
Hi, it's Jeff.
Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
I don't vaccinate my children, and I have philosophical reasons not to. For one thing, if something goes wrong with the vaccine for some reason, and your child gets injured through the vaccination process, you can't sue Merck, and that's philosophically wrong. And another thing, if you study the measles outbreak, 42% of the people that got measles were vaccinated. So, I mean, how much of an effect does the vaccination really have? And you have to look at the risk of getting vaccinated. And I think it's incredible that you hold the kids hostages and you're going to take the kids' school away from it if they don't vaccinate. What kind of that's morally inept. That's all I've got to say. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for your call.
So what I would say to that, though, is you're requiring in our system today for children to go to public school. So your decision to not vaccinate your child, if you were the only one making that decision, it probably wouldn't be a big deal. But we have schools where the vaccination rates have dipped, where there's over 30% of the kids in the school that are not vaccinated. And so you're putting the rest of that population at risk by your decision. And, I mean, the only other alternative would be to say that we would have completely open school choice for anyone in elementary schools or high schools. We have somewhat of a school choice now, but we currently have the posting of the immunization rates, but we don't allow a parent who's done the right thing, vaccinated their child, we don't allow them to remove their child from that potentially dangerous situation. So, I mean, I think I'm just going to respectfully disagree with Jeff's analysis.
When you say the information is available and posted, I'm not sure I understand. What do you mean by that? Is it actually posted in the schools?
Well, it's certainly, you can find it online, and if you go to Vermont Digger right now, I believe it was VPR that posted the schools with the worst vaccination rates in the state, and that was part of what ended up passing in 2012 was the ability to track and disseminate the information as far as vaccination rates in the school.
This idea of a trigger, is 90% the magic number for you, or how would that work?
Well, that's what the medical and scientific community is telling us, and so that seems to make sense to me.
Okay, so how would that work? If an individual school, or is this a statewide thing? How would it work?
Well, see, that's the problem. You know, statewide, we're only at 6.1% unvaccinated overall, and but we have specific schools where that rate is so much higher. So you can't really go by a statewide calculation. You really need to go by a school-by-school calculation if you want to monitor the risk of the children in that school.
I don't know if you heard our discussion with the governor. We were talking about this organ donation bill. I don't know how even where you are of it, but what any thoughts on the idea that you would have to opt out of having your organs taken upon death?
Well, I think that we should encourage people to be organ donors, and I think we do that when we try to get people to sign advance directives. But as far as making it mandatory if you don't opt out, I would not support that.
What's going to happen with this vaccination bill? What happens? You talked about it this week. What happens next?
Well, we have to convince our colleagues on the committees of jurisdiction that it takes merit to hold hearings on it. And I know there's some reluctance in the Senate because we passed it by such a wide margin and the House derailed it to do anything unless the House takes action. So there's going to have to be work done on both sides of the building, trying to convince people that it's the right thing to do. And really, it's just like any other bill. You just have to build support among your colleagues and see where it goes.
Would you say that right now it's an uphill battle?
Well, I think it's an uphill battle, especially knowing the governor's position on it. A lot of people are reluctant to take positions that put them at odds with the governor's office, and I can understand that. But, you know, I think we're here to do what's right, and I think what's right in the public health interest is to get this bill passed.
Thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks, Mark.
Senator Kevin Mullen, or actually, before you go, I wanted to ask you, too, about the dispatcher question. I know we asked the governor about it. He said, no problem here with public safety. You disagree.
Well, after talking to the different dispatchers in the Rutland region and to a number of the volunteer firefighters, I'm not convinced that there isn't a safety issue. And the administration refers to what New Hampshire has done, but they're talking about the 911 and not necessarily the dispatch for the local volunteer fire departments and things like that. So there are so many questions that I think are unanswered. In the math that I've been trying to put on a pen to paper on, I don't even think that there is $1.7 million in savings. And it also highlights some real inefficient operations by the people that are setting the schedules. I looked at the hour sheet, basically the work schedule for the employees at the Williston call center, and there's built-in overtime, even if no one is sick or doesn't show up for work, they're still built-in overtime. So, you know, why aren't we looking at things like that to try to create savings rather than take jobs away from two regions of the state that have been economically depressed as it is, to take jobs away from Derby and Rutland at this point in time, and without being able to prove that you're actually going to be able to save the money, I think is penny wise and pound foolish.
Thank you for your time. Have
Thanks.
A nice weekend. Senator Kevin Mullen, we'll take a short break before we close up shop here. We'll be back right after this.
Big fish and big prizes. The 11th annual Northeast Kingdom Ice Fishing Derby is February 12th through 15th on lakes and ponds throughout the Northeast Kingdom. For details, log on to WrightSportsShop.com and cast your line for cash and prizes thanks to fine sponsors like South Bay Supply, Newport Farm and Garden, and Northeast Ag Sales. Call 334-6115 to register for the 11th annual Northeast Kingdom Ice Fishing Derby.
There's no time like now to drive a new Nissan, and Formula Nissan in Barrie has received special shipments direct from the factory with Nissan Now sale event discounts. Jack Castellaneta, nobody has these savings, and nobody makes it simpler to save money.
With our factory direct pricing, you can forget the sticker, forget dealer markups, and just get the best Nissan price. We make it simple.
And you're not kidding. Formula Nissan prices beat flyer ads, newspapers, even internet pricing.
There's a reason people drive from Hardwick, Burlington, even St. Jay and White River Junction. Our prices are simple, and simpler means cheaper.
Up to $6,000 right off the MSRP of brand new Nissans. All the selection you need and simple, straightforward, factory direct pricing that will save you thousands.
No matter where you've been or what you've been offered, you'll do better at Formula Nissan during the Nissan Now sales event. We're on the Montpelier Road next to Pizza Hut and at formulanissan.com. Let us show you how easy it is to do business here.
I love Hunger Mountain Co-op because as a working member, I get to hang all of the co-op posters you see in town. It keeps me connected to my community and I get a discount. I'm Karen Gerdell from Montpelier and I've been a member owner since 1998.
All right, we're back for our waning moments here. Reminder, up the road at Red Hen Cafe in beautiful Middlesex. Fabulous place for you to go for lunch each and every day. Also, a great place for you to start each and every day. You can head there 7 o'clock, 8 on Sundays, where they have just really incredible. I know, you know, there are a lot of bakeries out there. These folks are really a cut above. You try the sticky buns there. Other ones will pale in comparison. Their Danish is just outstanding. They make a croissant that's as good as anything that you would fly halfway around the world to France to get. And they just make really great products there. End of the week on Thursday and Friday, you can pick up a couple of those whoopie pies, too. Nice way to end the week. So stop in and see our friends at Red Hen Cafe and Bakery. Great place to go for lunch. They have two soups available always. One is vegetarian, one non-vegetarian. And so you can sort of opt in, I guess, in terms of whether or not you want vegetables or not. Sorry, couldn't resist. All right. So please stop in and see them and don't mention that I tied them in with an organ donation proposal or anything like that. Just say howdy from us here at WDEB. I know many of you do, and I greatly appreciate that. If you're ever looking for a positive way to help the radio station or help this program, that is the way to do it. Stop in and see our sponsors and mention that you that we said howdy from us here at WDEV. Thanks very much for joining us on the program today. Alan Gilbert of the ACLU will be joining us to kick off next week, where we have another awesome lineup of guests that will be coming your way. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great weekend, everybody, and come back and join us same time, same place, Monday, right here on FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugarbush, FM 96.5 in Barrie and Montpelier, 101.9 in the Kingdom, and AM 550 WDEV, Waterbury, Montpelier. News is coming your way next.